Welcome to Safety School, where we crunch down health, safety and environment learning into simple bite-sized snippets that you can use for your business or your career, helping you improve your knowledge, boost your performance and maybe even providing some inspiration. Let's get started. Hi there, thank you for joining me for this short episode of Safety School. In this episode, I want to quickly take a look at a concept that seems to be getting quite a bit of attention currently around business circles, and that is around the theme of psychological safety. One of the most prominent books on the subject was recently released by Amy Edmondson of the Harvard Business School, and I wanted to reflect on some of the focus that Amy has taken on the book and look at how it might apply to you as a business leader or HSE professional within an organization. So first of all, let's set the scene here. What is psychological safety? Well, if we look at it from a definition point of view, it's said to be a shared belief that the team or the people working within a team are safe to take interpersonal risk. And that can be defined as being able to show and employ yourself without fear of negative consequences to your self-image, your status within and outside the organization, or your career in general. Within psychologically safe teams, team members are said to feel accepted and respected amongst their peers. And it is one of the most studied enabling conditions when it comes to group dynamics and team working within research. So it's pretty well known, and Amy Edmondson, as I say, has brought a book out about it and describes psychological safety herself as a climate in which people are comfortable expressing and being themselves in a more simplified sense. So that is just being able to express your own opinions without fear of retribution, and that's how she terms it here in her book. So within Amy Edmondson's book, The Fearless Organization, what is she trying to say from the high level view? Well, the whole point of it is that she is trying to demonstrate that we need to hear every voice and every insight and opinion within an organization or a business from everyone within the workplace. And for that to be achieved, there needs to be an environment or a culture of psychological safety. The opposite of a psychologically safe workplace would be that people would be operating with fear. And when we ask ourselves, what is fear? I think the best definition for it in this context is just the opposite of what we said that is psychological safety. So therefore, it's the avoidance of doing something because you're afraid of negative consequences. So what do we mean by that in the more practical sense? Well, when we talk about fear in an organization, we do, whether we are conscious of it or not, I believe, often protect ourselves by behaving in certain ways. And sometimes these behaviors are really ingrained in us. And that could be, you know, from our past experience or because of the actual culture within the specific organization that we're working in. And that manifests itself in certain ways. So if you think about it, and I've done it before in the past myself, what do we generally do if we don't want to look ignorant or stupid? We don't ask questions. What do we do if we don't want to look incompetent? We don't admit to making mistakes or errors because we don't want to appear weak. And I'm sure within the HSE profession, we're probably one of the most guilty of that, I would imagine. If we don't want to be called disruptive or a troublemaker, then what do? We don't make suggestions. We don't try to innovate. These are the types of responses and behaviors that we would normally see in an organization where fear exists. And you know, hopefully by asking those questions, you may recognize some of the behaviors either with yourself personally or with those in your team. As HSE leaders or business leaders, we have to ask ourselves, what are the consequences of such a culture existing? And of course, the fear of speaking up from the safety perspective can ultimately lead to accidents that were in fact avoidable. So remaining silent due to a fear of risk, as we were discussing earlier, whether that's your internal status of relationships, your particular job or your career, can really make the difference between life or death as an outcome. And I don't think it's far-fetched to say that in the context of what we do as a profession. And if you manage a business in a relatively high-risk industry. On the flip side then, if you don't have that cultural climate of fear, then what does it look like in an organization where there Is psychological safety as part of the cultural fabric? Well, first of all, I mean, you think about it from the point of view of if we hire someone on the basis of their knowledge, their competence and experience, something that we often allude to within the health and safety world, naturally we should want to get the most and the best out of that person for the benefit of the company and for themselves. In Amy's book, she's saying that in a psychologically safe organization, that really when you achieve that, you're putting in place the foundations for learning, innovation, and ultimately business growth, as well as personal growth. And everyone needs to have a voice within your teams, including your team leaders, of course. And they need to try and ensure they're not silencing or discouraging contribution from everyone in the team. And if they do that, or if anyone in the team does that, then it's detrimental to the entire team and the results that they can achieve. If you can achieve a workplace where everyone can speak up and there's mutual respect amongst peers and people working with one another, then you're moving towards a culture where there is psychological safety and innovation and growth can thrive. But not only that, of course, within the context of HSE, we will be looking at safer outcomes, reduced accidents and incidents, and just a better safety culture and compliance culture in general, you would certainly hope. As you can imagine, there are problems and difficulties associated with trying to develop this culture, especially in businesses, you know, that have that fear ingrained into them for various reasons because of, you know, different factors and variables within whatever industry it is that we're working in. Also, due to competition between employees and within teams, there is a natural balance of power where people try to hold on to their influence and control people within a group. And it can be difficult to create a feeling of psychological safety if this culture is deeply ingrained and pure to begin with. But it is up to you as a leader and other leaders and members of the team to be conscious of this, to be self-aware and begin to actually practice deploying empathy towards other people in the group, respecting their opinions and looking for their point of view. And equally important here, I think, as well as listening and encouraging people to voice their opinions, is identifying when others are habitually shutting people down, ridiculing them and stopping them from giving their opinions. And that can be done in certain types of way. It can be body language, it can be direct vocalization, or just, you know, in terms of their response to them. And I think it's really important for everybody to be conscious of supporting and encouraging others in the group, especially those who may normally be less vocal, and making sure that their voices are heard and respected as well. And what we're trying to achieve, and what Amy alludes to, is that at the end condition, where the ultimate sort of goal is to get to the point where people are actually fearful of holding back their full participation. So, you know, that is obviously full circle, the other end of the spectrum. And as a byproduct of this, it should lead to much greater knowledge for the team and collection of information from which they're in a much stronger position to progress and grow. Of course, when it comes to, again, the safety context here, a culture of silence can be very dangerous. And that's why I think this concept of psychological safety is so relevant and important, not only within our profession, but across business in general. Another thing to just remember as well as this is that we're encouraging people to speak up, but it also takes on the other end that you have to genuinely listen. And we've touched on this in various podcasts before, speaking to a lot of our guests on the safety podcast and even within the safety school here. It's no good pretending you're listening and not taking on board the information that's being fed back. And this takes a lot of the time more humility maybe than what us as leaders are used to showing, or people within a group may be used to showing, and a recognition as well that we don't have all of the answers. And that in itself, as we've discussed before, is showing vulnerability and can really help when it comes to building trust and encouraging further communication between the team members. So let's wrap this up with some finer points on what you can take away from this. We need to challenge the culture of fear within organizations and anything within our business that fuels or propagates it, because ultimately that leads to information not being shared and a lack of trust and the development of fear, where the outcomes of which are just negative within our businesses. So here's a few things that you can use to guide you. Okay, first, we need to really just start practicing speaking up and not keeping silent. Of course, you can argue that there's a lot of times when silence is the best remedy, but in the context of teamworking and working towards a common goal, we should practice speaking up more and getting others to speak up as well. The second thing to remember is just touching on the fact that, yes, there always has to be someone speaking, but there also has to be a listener, as I just mentioned there a few moments ago. So active listening and genuinely consuming the information that's coming from those that are speaking up is as important as being involved in that sharing of information in itself. The third point I want to get you to think about, and it's not an action as such, but more of a thought, is that every time someone withholds information, that may lead us to a bad or wrong decision. And in the context of HSE, as we all know, this can have severe consequences. So we have to ask ourselves, what type of culture are we propagating? What are we doing to encourage that information that we need to hear to come out and to use it in an effective way? And what are the consequences of not getting that information? Okay, and the last point I want to use to wrap this up then is always to remember that the motivation for actually creating this, and I suppose this is important when it comes to selling the concept to other people, is that when you're trying to create a fearless culture, it's always with the motivation to help the team and the business, not the individual. And by taking that approach, giving everyone their voice, listening to them, and using that to move your team forward, you will become a better leader, and that ultimately will be better for the business. That's it for this episode of Safety School. We hope this was helpful. If so, please remember to rate, review, and subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Google Podcasts, or Spotify. And remember, for more health, safety, and environment help, you can visit us at safety.com. Until next time, take care.